time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we are so glad you joined us today. Today we have a treat for you. We have some long-term crew members. Both came here some time ago, and that would be Gordon and Christine Clark.
Hi.
Welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you?
Hi.
Where are you guys from?
We're from Australia, from down under, and we're from the bottom part of Australia, in South Australia, a city called Adelaide. And we came over in 1994. We heard about Friendships via an organization called Feed the Hungry. And then from there, we were actually in a smaller town called Mount Gambier, a wee little town called Mount Gambier at the time. And we started to try and outreach into different areas of prayer and giving. And one of the areas that we've started giving to was Feed the Hungry. And then through Feed the Hungry, we found out about Friendships. We thought this was a marvelous organization. And the Lord blessed it mightily one day and actually brought Don and Sandra to Mount Gambier, South Australia.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, that was great. It was brilliant. And while Don was speaking, and when you hear Don speak, it's really wonderful. And the Spirit of God leapt within inside me, and that was the start of it. And that's when the Lord sort of prompted me, especially, to say, Lord, this is it. And we're about ready to enter into the mission field. So that's when I got the call. But I know Christine had a little struggle with it. And maybe Christine would like to share some
of this. Let me ask you before you get started, how long were you guys married at this time?
4 years.
4 years. Okay, so 4 years into the marriage, you heard Don speak, and you were there as well, right, Christine?
No, I hadn't gone for the evening. There was a men's evening meal or something they had, so I hadn't gone along. But when Gordon came home that night, he was like, oh, a cat on hot bricks, jumping around with excitement. And he told me, and the fact was that we had jointly discussed that we would go into the mission field, but I've got a fairly strong personality. I like to be consulted about things. So when he walked into the house and said, we're going to America to join a ministry called Friendships, I went, I beg your pardon. And it took me a while, quite a while actually, to adjust to this new thing that we were going to do. Only thing I can remember about it particularly was that God called me to account and said, count the cost. And it's actually been manifest over a very long time, that scripture in my life.
Well, we're going to hear about some of those experiences as we go along. But before we go there, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your church. You said it was a smaller church. Were they mission-minded?
They were an outreaching church, but we didn't have any missionaries. There's only about 100 in the church, but we did most of our missions work through giving. And I know that last time I was speaking with Sandra on here that we started to recount some of the things that we were able to bless Friendships with. The immersion suits that were on the spirit ship, we were able to bless them with those, and the forklift that is still driving around now after almost
19 years.
So we were able to bless them with these things. And when you consider that we were only a small church with only not even 100 people.
Oh. 100 families,
that's right.
But isn't that just like God? I mean, here you are, a little small church in South Australia that decided to give to somebody that you hadn't met. And in turn, it gives us the opportunity to do the same thing, to give to others. And that's the way God seems to connect the dots sometimes. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It certainly is.
Well, how did you two first meet?
That's a story in itself.
Well, we're at a meeting. This is our second time marriage. My first wife passed away about 4 or 5 months before, and I had a young daughter. She was 6, I think, at the time, and we were in this church at the time, and it was a wonderful
Baptist church.
It was in the Baptist church at the time, and then we shifted churches to this other church. But we were in the Baptist church, and they looked after us, and it was we had a great little core team there of prayers and intercessors, and they certainly helped me a lot during this time. And our friends had gone over to this other church, and they invited us along to this camp meeting. And so we went along to an evangelical camp meeting, and we were sitting up the back. And the reason why I asked Christine along was I had my daughter, and I needed somebody to look after my daughter. And so I said, oh, great, this is wonderful. And so Christine came with me. And
I was the kids club leader.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually knew Belinda through school. And so that's how come Christine was coming with me. I just needed somebody to look after my daughter. And we were sitting up the back in the first meeting of this prophet of God speaking, And we were the first people he picked on. He looked at us down the back and he said, "That married couple in the back." And I looked around and I said, "Which married couple is he talking about?" He said, "The big guy down there with the blonde hair." That was me. I said, "We're not married." And that was where it started from. And we searched their souls. And
can realized, I just share that little bit?
Yep, sure.
I was desperately in love with Gordon and hadn't let anybody know. I came out of a devastatingly broken relationship, a divorce that I had vowed I would never have anything to do with gentlemen ever again. So the very idea of having, you know, I mean, I was disturbed about having to sit so close to Gordon. That's why I had Belinda sitting between us. I found it absolutely overwhelming that I was in love with this male and kept telling God to take that feeling off me. But he would just make it stronger. And so in the middle of the prophecy, the gentleman actually spoke to me and he said, "You know what I'm talking about here." And he said, "Like Ruth, you must go and lie at your Boaz's feet." Not that I want you to go and make love to him or anything, but just go and say to your Boaz, who is Gordon, that you have knowledge that you are meant to be married to this man. And I was just beside myself. I just did not want to know. So it actually took God to actually speak in a service to say, "Come on now, Christine, I've been telling you this for 9 months. Why are you not doing it?" 13 weeks later, we were married.
Amen.
Amen.
And how long ago was that?
1990.
And you have seen many adventures since then. Anybody that has been married for some time realizes that marriages are blessings. There are a lot of sunrises and sunsets. And we learn so much about not only our spouses, but we learn so much about ourselves. We learn so much more about our God through
Amen.
The marriage.
That's true.
You've seen the world in ways that other married couples never get a chance to see. Why don't you tell us about some of those?
Yes, well, we joined Friendships and we went to Los Angeles, and the first thing that we did was work on the Faithful, which was a vessel over in Los Angeles. We had some adventures over there too. Some of the awesome things that we did, we didn't know we were doing awesome things until afterwards, but we spent 9 months pulling down chicken sheds. Now, as a trained personnel, I'm an electrician, and I thought, gee, I'm coming here to help build ships and get ships and keep ships running, and here I am pulling down chicken sheds in the sun. And I thought, oh, this is not what I want to do. But anyway, I dealt with that. And
that wasn't quite the adventure you had in mind when you were leaving Australia to come work on ships.
No, it wasn't.
We talked a little bit about that on your last interview that you did with Sandra, and we encourage people to go back and listen to that in its entirety on the podcast.
Yes.
Those eventually became the building is in Ruatan at the moment.
And they're being used for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the moment. So when you look at those things, you don't think they're big things, but they are now. But probably I think the highlighted experience that I ever had, and I think Christine did too, and certainly Belinda as well, our daughter who was with us at the time, we were in Los Angeles, and Don said, "We're picking up a new ship. We've been praying for the Spirit of Grace for some time now, and we'd actually seen it. It was just docked not so far from us, and every time we walked past, here was this ship. It was a sister ship to the Spirit ship, and we used to pray for this ship. And one day Don said, "We're going up to pick up the Spirit of Grace." And next thing you know, we're on the bus, chicken bus, and And the chicken bus, to understand what the chicken bus was, it's a yellow school bus that's been down to Guatemala and was used in Guatemala. And somebody imagined that this bus was driving up and down the roads of Guatemala full of Guatemalans and chickens. And so that's why we call it the chicken bus. And eventually a church down in Guatemala gave us this bus. And so that was our transportation for a long time. And that was a wonderful experience to be able to go to San Francisco to walk up the gangplank of this new ship. And it had been sitting there for about a year. God had blessed us with this ship, and we were able to get this ship running and just walk up on board and start to turn the generators on. The lights started to come on, and Don asked old Walt, "Will she go?" And in his old gravelly voice, he said, "She'll go." And that was it. And the tugs came along, away we went, and when the signal came down to start the main engine up, away she went. And it happened on the 19th of December, which is a special day for Christine.
It was my birthday that day. So we got to go under the Golden Gate Bridge, something that for an Australian is, you know, I mean, just to travel across the Golden Gate Bridge is a blessing. But to be able to travel out from underneath the Golden Gate Bridge was such a blessing for me. And then past Alcatraz, So, you know, and oh, they've got all these lights on the bridge, and just it was just like fairyland coming out through San Francisco Harbor and out through the Heads and on into the city and back down to Los Angeles.
You know, that must have been some special occasion, because just the excitement of seeing those tugboats cut loose and cutting the waters for the first time under their own power.
Oh,
I remember Sandra recalls that like a special moment.
Yes.
And it's funny because I asked you about your adventures and you've been all over the world, but this stands out in your mind.
It does.
Why
it
is
really
that?
It does.
It was a birthday present from Jesus.
And to understand where the grace has been since, it was something like a new adventure for the new ship. And we were there at the start of it.
Yeah.
And away she went. And she's done some awesome work for Jesus and blessed many thousands of lives.
Amen.
Ship.
We've been to Honduras. We've been to the West Indies, Jamaica. What else? The Bay Islands of Honduras. Where else have we been, Gordon?
St. Lucia.
St. Lucia, St. Kitts.
Were you guys a part of the African mission?
No, that was just before we left. But we've had such amazing things. You know, some of the people on the ship at the moment mention things. There's one lady I know of who's used to work on ships. She says that she's been more places in the world since she has been in friendships than she ever did when she worked on ships.
Well, listen, we're going to have to take a short break here, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about one more mission trip that Gordon was a part of in Israel, and also some of the lessons that you have learned since you've been here. Okay?
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back.
Radio Friendships would like to invite you to join us every Monday for the reading of a chapter from the book, Jesus and Company. This is not only the story of the foundation and early years of Friendships Unlimited, but also a story of faith. What better way to start the week than to hear how the unqualified, led by the unseen, are doing the impossible with very little, just ordinary people being used by an extraordinary God. So come and be encouraged with us every Monday right here on this station. If you would like to have your own copy of Jesus and Company, visit our website at www.friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. We'll see you Monday.
Okay, we're back with Gordon and Christine Clark, long-term crew members at the Friendships Ministries. Actually, have been here a long time. Now, Gordon, I would probably imagine the book Jesus and Company, which is about the foundation of Friendships Unlimited. You could read that book and see your stories lived out through that book.
Yeah, quite a few of them. Our ministry starts a little after the book, but there are so many things that we have seen that are similar.
Well, listen, before the break, Gordon, we mentioned that we were going to talk a little bit about the Israel trip. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the first time we came, it took 2 years before we actually climbed up the gangplank of a ship. This time, I spent 7 years away. We had to go back to Australia for a while. And during the time, we had some real heavy-duty traumas and things happening, mainly in our marriage, and some things happened. But anyhow, I came back 7 years later, and I got off the plane and walked up the gangplank of the old spirit ship and said, oh, we're leaving now, and straight back onto the grace, and away we went. And it's such an awesome feeling to get back on that old ship again and to be able to sail across. And it was a long journey, but we got there. And I remember we got to Cape Hatteras and we're about ready to turn right and head across the Atlantic. And they said, oh, can't do that. There's some hurricanes coming. And one happened to have my name on it. I thought, oh, no, I'm holding us back. Hurricane Gordon was out there holding us up. So we stopped around and we sailed around Cape Hatteras for a while. Then the green light went ahead and away we went. And sailing past Gibraltar and sailing past there.
Isn't that something?
It really is. Well, that was wonderful. I mean, sometimes when you're sailing, you think, it's hard to explain when you can just sit up on deck and you're just looking out at the ocean, or you're just watching the coastline of some country go past. And it's so romantic and it's an awesome blessing. Well, it's
there really isn't words for it. I mean, poets try to capture it, the novelists try to capture it, but I think they only get a shadow of what it really is.
That's right. Yeah, it's awesome. It really is.
It's nothing like a sunset at sea, darling.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Watch plenty of those.
Right. What were some of your jobs you've had since you've been here?
I was formally trained as an electrician, apprenticed and came through the ranks. And then shortly after, I moved into the air conditioning field. And so I was trained up as air conditioning, refrigeration. And so as soon as I got here on the faithful, I started repairing motors and lighting and doing what I did normally in my trade.
Let me ask you, though, is that difficult to go from the type of electrician work that you were doing before to applying that to ships?
It's very similar principles, although the ships that we got were so old that I had to go back to our schooling and we learned about DC motors in schooling.
Okay.
And so we had to think about that one. But basic principles were the same.
So if there's somebody out there that is interested in serving God and they've been an electrician, they say, how can I ever do this besides hooking up some lights at church? Mm. This may be something for them.
It certainly is.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that I have learned quite a bit since I've been here in the electrical field, working on old DC equipment, controllers, and also the newer ships we have with the programmable logic controllers. I did learn a little bit about it when I went back to Australia for the 7 years and got started building the knowledge base that I needed to work on those controllers, but then to come back here and actually to start to work on them. And I was able to pick up the manuals and understand what the manuals said.
Yeah.
We were able to get these controllers up and running and running properly.
So mainly electrical work is what you've been doing?
Electrical work mainly. As I've said, I pulled down chicken sheds.
Mm-hmm. And you've cleaned the bathroom?
And I've cleaned toilets for a while.
What about you, Christina? What kind
well,
of...
Well, my first job I ever did was an oiler in the engine room, which
really?
Frightened
wow.
the... really frightened me. But as it turned out, it was absolutely marvelous down there. I felt I was really Noah in the belly of a whale. I really did.
Yeah.
And I had fun.
Explain a little bit what an oiler is.
Well, an oiler is basically that the main engineers and all of the other guys who are working in the engine room do all the big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to try and keep the place clean, and the motors and the generators and all of the other sorts of components that are in the engine room need to be kept clean. So the oiler goes around and wipes off the oil and stands watches every now and again, you know, if there's a troublesome motor and they need to just keep a clock on it, you know, yeah. watch the timing.
I
you can do things like that.
What other jobs?
Oh, well, I've mainly been, I don't know why, I suppose because I've been a mother and a wife. I've been in the galley and I've been in the domestics area most of the time that I've worked for Friendships. At the present moment, I'm putting tiles in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
A little of everything.
A little of everything.
But there's something that the crew here have noticed about both of you. It seems like no matter what you're doing, you seem to have the peace and joy of Christ no matter
That's
what the circumstances
what I had to
are.
Learn.
Oh, well, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, when we'd been here for 5 years, I was really, really struggling. And I guess if you want to put it into words, the presence of God was so present in the people in the ministry and the ministry itself that it put a lot of pressure on some areas of my life that I was struggling in. And I just couldn't handle those areas and I wanted to get away. And mm-hmm. so basically, and that's what the Holy Spirit meant when he said, count the costs, because unless you know, there's a scripture that talks about a man who builds a barn,
yeah.
and unless he's willing to pay the cost, he gets halfway through building it and he doesn't finish it. And that's really what the Holy Spirit was trying to say to me before I left Australia. Think about what this is going to cost you. And I actually ran. I have to admit it. I ran home to Australia. I was home for 6 months and talked by email to Gordon, who was on a mission at the time, and pleaded with him to come home because at that time I thought that I was right. I thought that we had made a big mistake and that I shouldn't be here. And so it took him a year and he wasn't very happy about it. We got back together again. But there was issues that Christine and Gordon were needed yeah. to work through, yeah. issues of our heart that, I mean, my analogy is that, you know, you can sit in church every day or you can become anybody in a church. But it's not until something puts a lot of pressure on you, like a friendships ministry. The scripture that talks about thank God in all circumstances, we have learned so much. Okay, so if it hadn't been for that happening, I would never have known the depth of my heart and the difficulties I was having in my heart.
Yeah.
And so when Gordon came back, we fussed around for another few years. And I think it was appropriate that Gordon wanted to come back to the ministry. I didn't. How do you cope? And we had a real struggle. And finally, we parted for a period of time. And it was when he decided to come back to the Israel trip that really that was the reaction that our life as a couple was over. And can you imagine how I felt? I felt like this was a marriage. See, God, I told you we couldn't do this. I listened to you and it didn't work. But God really started to speak to my heart from that period on and started to say to me, Christine, you are the one that has the problem.
Mm.
Not the ministry, not Gordon, And so for 3.5 years, I sought his face through many ways. A lot of counselling I really had. And he and I had sort of made a pact. I took my wedding ring off for a period of time, but I put my wedding ring on again. He's looking at me. The only reason I have my wedding ring off at the moment is because I'm tiling a bathroom and it hurts. Anyway, we made a pact to try and work it through. The two of us did not want our relationship to break down. We really wanted to be married. And I think that's one of the things that even if things aren't working out in a relationship, if you really believe that God is with you in that relationship and you are willing to to just keep on keeping on. I mean, I think when I heard God say, "This is your problem, Christine," I could have said, "I beg your pardon," as I had on many occasions. But the Bible says that God is perfect. And if he cannot lie and he's perfect, then he told me to get married to this man. So there had to be something wrong with me. Even if I didn't necessarily believe that it was wrong with me, just the very fact that the scripture says he's perfect and that if there wasn't something wrong with him telling us to get married, there had to be something wrong with what I was doing.
Let me ask you, though, did you go through a period of time where you felt like you were cheated? Here's a man that is sold out for mission work.
Right.
Did you ever feel like he chose that over you?
I used to call myself Leah. See, I'm Leah. All you care about is so many other things. I'm not Rachel in your life. I'm not your first love. I'm your second love. I could write a book. And let me say that God did heal my heart. It took the 3.5 years. And you know what? The only part of this that I will really hang on to is the difference between myself and so many other people that have problems is I was motivated to change it. Nothing else was there. I didn't have any skills. I didn't know how to do this. I just wanted it changed and was willing to pray hard enough to get it changed. That was the only thing that I have on somebody else who didn't make it in that situation.
Gordon, let me ask you from your perspective. Now, here you are. You know that your wife is staying in Australia and you know God has called you to serve. What was going through your mind at that time?
I mean, we'd just come off a very rocky road. We'd actually separated at the time, and we were starting to make inroads. I'd left the church that we were going to, so I was floating around just going to different services and different places. And then one day I thought, no, this isn't good enough. So I started going back to the church that we were both attending, and so I had to start working through those issues as well. So I started sitting with Christine in church, and that's where it started. And we started to get back together again. And about that time also, I knew I had to come back to friendships. So it was starting to be a real struggle for me, and because what does one do? Does one continue with the relationship? Christine was talking about the relationship, and I was going, well, I have to go back to friendships, and I'd actually made that commitment by then, and by the time it was getting fairly strong and we were starting to talk about actually physically living together again, and I said, I have to go. I'm sorry I've made this commitment, but let's keep talking, keep communicating, and praise God he invented computers and Skype and all of those things. We could talk easier and better than what we was able to before. And
I guess it must have taken you some courage, Gordon, to keep on keeping on, believe that God could do something no matter what.
Again, it's one of the things that I do recognize is that our marriage vows are up in heaven before the throne room of God.
Yeah, that's a great point, Gordon. And we got to see a beautiful story of redemption and the redemptive power of Christ when you guys recommitted your marriage right here on the ship.
We did that deliberately because I felt like, you know, God didn't make friendship a stumbling block. I allowed friendship to become a stumbling block, and I wanted to show God through the very act of recommitting our vows on the ship that I was sorry, that I wanted our relationship to work. And so we would do it and let the witnesses of the crew of friendships be there to see us do it.
It's wonderful to see a couple committed to Christ and to being in his service. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. It's been great. And it's a privilege to be asked to come and speak here. It really is.
Thank you all for joining us here on Radio Friendships, where we love to speak about the great and mighty God and the many wonderful ways throughout the world to serve him. Have a great day and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today.
Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.